Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. I am down in Eugene. Danny back in the studios.
Liar, you're right here next to me.
I am not. I'm going to be hitting like rush hour traffic.
You almost said I wish, and then you were like, nah, I don't wish.
I do, I wish. I miss your musk. I miss your scent.
Mm.
Right now, I got a view of they're pressure washing the scoreboards right now. That's what I'm looking at.
That's got to be so satisfying.
I bet it is. It's satisfying to watch.
Pressure washing is such a satisfying thing to do.
Okay. Now we're getting into it. What will hook me? Carpet washing videos.
Oh God!
And pressure washing videos. First of all, I don't believe the carpet cleaning ones. Nobody has a carpet as dirty as the ones that they put
on. They show.
No way. I am calling shenanigans on that.
I don't know, man.
It's like a flood damage or something like that.
Yeah. It's not great.
It's mesmerizing.
It's not great. I'll tell you that. Look, I subscribe to the hardwood floors specifically because I don't like carpet because they get very dirty.
Yeah. They do get very dirty.
Do not like. I have carpet in one room in my house. It is in my office, and I want to rip it out. And every time I clean it, because I have two little black dogs with short, wiry black hair, and the amount of fur that comes out of that carpet, it gets vacuumed twice a week, and it halfway fills. I've got one of those cyclone vacuums where you can see all the stuff that comes out, and all of the fur that comes out of the carpet is just like, oh my God. And that's without kids. That's without spills. That's without all the other stuff. And I'm just like, I never want carpet in my house ever again.
Oh.
Ever. I want hardwood floors for the rest of my life. I never want carpet in a house ever again.
It's cold on your feet, though.
You know what?
See, that's my only thing is waking up first thing in the morning and first putting those feet down on the floor. I don't want cold, hard surface.
I got the Crocs.
That doesn't sound like much fun either.
It's
some good fuzzy slippers.
They go, oh, sir, I have fuzzy Crocs for home. Are you not aware of this?
No, I was not aware of the fuzzy Crocs.
Buddy, let me just go ahead and remind folks. When I had my hip surgery, Crocs reached out to me, and they sent me a box as big as me full of Crocs.
I just didn't realize fuzzy Crocs was a thing.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I knew they had the cowboy boot Crocs and yeah.
I will take a picture of them when I get home tonight, and I will send them. I will put them in the group chat so you can see them. They are dark blue with a gray fuzz, and they are. It has to be cold.
Yeah,
they are warm. It is a lot, but they outside of those giant yellow ones that they did the crossovers with the big stupid rubber boots and the cowboy Crocs. I have every other Croc in every other color size. Random assortment combination you could imagine.
And the cowboy Crocs, you've been trying to get them.
Yes, I have been trying.
I mean, let's not act like you're disgusted by them.
I'm not disgusted by
them. You've been trying to get your hands on
limited run, and they've I've so far been stifled.
I can't wait until you finally get them, though.
Oh, I will rock them, too. You know I will.
Unfortunately, I do know you are going to wear them.
And put them in sport mode, baby.
Yeah.
Spurs and all. That right there, that's a good trophy to fight over. The cowboy Crocs.
We
replace the platy with that.
We do have that. No. You know, the state of Oregon can't handle that. We can't handle playing for
can't
cowboy
style.
Boot Crocs. No, that's not the word I was going to use. That's not the
style
word
and
that
grace.
I was going to use. People just be like... But then again, we have an old tin bucket. We've got a spittoon. I mean, could Crocs be the old tin can of modern times now? And they'd just be like, why a pair of Crocs? Why not a pair of Crocs?
Why not?
Everybody had one. They were easily accessible. They said, you know what? This is what we're going to do is we're playing for a pair of Crocs here.
Look, you're on football practice fields all the time. How often do you see guys leaving the field in Crocs?
Never.
Okay. On the basketball court? All the time.
Basketball court is probably different.
All the time.
Because you always go to the locker room to take your shoes off on football, right? I mean, it's like that is a little bit different. I have had kids show up to try and lift weights in Crocs or Hey Dudes. Hey Dudes are the other one, which are like little slip-ons. Yeah, that was it. And I think that the hard part of getting the platy to go away for a pair of Crocs is, I don't know, Nike. may have something to say with that.
Look,
one.
All right, fine. Nike, make some, make a platy base croc.
You like remember
have a croc with like a platy face on it.
But do you remember they made a slipper shoe that kind of looked like it was like it had a sole of a shoe.
Yeah, I know. I've got the slides, the Air Max slides.
Maybe that's what it is.
Like that, just like throw like a little platypus on it. I don't care.
We have our round of 8 matchup coming up at the top of next hour for our rivalry trophies. We went all the way through the Sweet 16 yesterday. We've got the round of 8 today. 4 will be on Thursday, and then our championship edition coming up on Friday, leading you up to the week 1 of college football. And a little bit later on in the show, we've got to get to what will we learn from anybody in week 1 of college football? You've seen some of these games. Some of these games are pretty rough, but we'll have that coming up. Let's go back to the NFL a little bit, though, before we get there, because there is a very confusing tactic that is being used by one Gerard Mayo, first-year head coach of the New England Patriots. And he mentioned this about his starting quarterback battle. Maybe.
I'm going to talk to the individual players tomorrow. I'm going to have a team meeting tomorrow, and then I'll get it to you guys.
So does that assume you made a decision, you just haven't communicated with them?
Yes, we've made a decision. I'm sure they all have an opinion on who they think should be the starting quarterback, but I don't think I have to explain it to anyone else. It's my decision, and look, if it doesn't work, blame me. I would say one thing. I think it's important to remember, like, what's good for the team today may not be good for the team weeks down the line. And so I think the challenge is you want to win every single game now, but also we're trying to build something special here in New England. So that to me was, that was a challenge.
Wow. You could hear the backup lights on that.
Beep, beep,
just,
beep,
I mean, beep. When you have to preface something with, wait, hold on, before you even make the announcement, you've done it wrong.
Well, and this is, as I heard the first half of that, I thought, oh my God, they're going with Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Because
then it definitely sounds like.
But then it sounded like, okay, no, wait a minute. What's good for us now isn't going to be good for us later in the year. And that's where I think he had this OS moment of, I think I just told everybody who the starting quarterback was going to be. The first half led me to believe they're going Drake May. The second half led me to believe it's still going to be Jacoby Brissett. Because in the front half, why would you need to talk to each individual player if at the beginning of training camp you said Jacoby Brissett is our starter, after week 1 of the preseason you said Jacoby Brissett is our starter, and then after second week you go, yeah, we got a little bit more of a competition now. You could just say it's still Jacoby, right?
Yeah. But
and it's not changing anybody's game plan for you.
And it doesn't matter. The whole idea. I like how he's like, well, it's about winning games. And then he's like, oh, I can't lie that seriously, because if I say it's about winning games, somebody's going to hold me to it's winning games this year, even though we're going to win maybe 2 games this year. Because the whole idea is that we need to suck because we have to be bad so we can accrue talent.
We got a lot of holes.
And so it's just like Gerard Mayo is getting a crash course in what it means to be a head coach in the media. and he failed every single mark today.
Wow.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, everything that he did there was it the incorrect way, in the sense of, if you're going to go full Belichickian with, like, we made a decision, I'll let you guys know after I let them know. You stop there.
You just stop it there.
You stop there. Don't go further. Don't try to drag that out anymore. Just stop there. But then he tries to, like, well, you know, and massage the messaging. It's like, no, you either need to be the hard-ass coach who doesn't give away anything, or you go full McDaniels and go, you know, we're just kind of doing some stuff, and I'll be some cool guys. It's like he's trying to do it both ways because he hasn't found who he is yet.
I'll give him high marks for apologizing for cutting off the reporter. How about that? Can we give him high marks for
that? There you go.
Did he do that right?
There you go.
So he did that right.
There you go.
He cut the reporter off and said, sorry.
My bad.
But let me back this truck up.
Yeah. And again, it's not like a crippling thing, but like if you're Patriots PR, you're pulling Mayo aside and going, okay, look, I'm not telling you how to do your job, but here's how to do your job. And you're either saying, we need to help you with the messaging of like how you're going to communicate things.
Yeah.
Or we need to find like a different style or path for you. And for those that don't know, that's part of PR's job, is to help coaches kind of walk through that
you
stuff.
You go through all those scenarios before you enter the room.
So you don't accidentally say something along the lines of, we're going to build around Scoot and Shaden.
Oh, man.
You know, oops. It happens.
Did that happen?
You know.
All right. 503-864-6326. That is Vancouver Ford text line. What team are we going to learn about in week one of the college football season? They got a lot of clunkers, especially against top 25 opponents. That next on Danny Dusty. All right, we're going to have some deeper dives into week one of college football. But there are, I think it was Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports tweeted out 59 FCS versus FBS games this week in college football.
That seems a bit much.
59.
I mean, come on. Like, I know everybody wants to have their work their way into the season. This is college football's answer to the jamboree, but come on.
Yeah.
The FBS, FCS stuff has got to stop, especially if you're in the top 60 teams. Stop. The whole, like, oh, they came down, like, New Mexico State, go ahead. Go ahead and schedule all the FCS opponents. I mean, they paid Montana State to come down there. I think they paid them $250,000, $300,000 to come down there and kick the crap out of them.
Got that butt beat.
So, like, that, I mean, that's fine. But, and this isn't like a shot at Oregon playing Idaho. It's just in general, because these have been scheduled out for a while. But if you're...
Well, no, I think you're right, though, in that, first of all, these are big money games, right? Funds athletic departments, and those are necessary. Would you rather we get them all out of the way week one or scatter them throughout the season?
Week one. I don't want to see Alabama or Georgia playing Chattanooga Northwestern Community College in November.
Because
week nine, they always seem to have like, whoa, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
and it's like a bye week for them that they just happen to have right before they play Tennessee. And it's like,
nobody got time for that.
No,
we don't want to go down this road. No, but we do have some actually intriguing matchups that I think we will learn a lot about where teams are at and where teams stand. I mean, off the top, you go down the top 25. We actually have a few compelling games, which is good for college football, and it's good for the sport that you have these sorts of matchups, like Clemson at Georgia. I think Georgia mops the floor with Clemson, but I think we're going to learn a lot about what Clemson is week one of this season. Going through it their way with recruiting only high school kids, not hitting the portal at all, zero incoming transfers out of the transfer portal, the only FBS school outside of the service academies to do that.
Which, again, is weird, and I think we're rightfully critical of Dabo because it's so against the grain of the rest of the entire sports world, or I should say the college football world in that regard. And you know what? Maybe all of us have to end up eating the humble pie. And Dabo's going to go, look, I'm going to zig when everybody else zags. And it's not necessarily staying true to his word, because remember, if somebody got paid, he was going to be out of college football, and yet he's still here. But this is his compromise, and he does recruit the guys that he develops over 4 years, and the right kind of player comes to him. I don't think that there's room for that. And if you're in the top 60 programs in college football going forward, it might carry on and linger for a little bit, because Dabo, regardless of how corny or cheesy or how much you don't like him or whatever you say, he still has 2 national titles.
Yes, he does.
He still has multiple high-level draft picks and talents in the NFL. He has developed guys. He has landed top-end recruits. He has taken lesser-known recruits and turned them into prolific stars. That has cachet regardless of, they haven't done it in the last 2 years. You know what I mean? And I think you're right. I think it is going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting in more than just the football, but the dynamics at play when you're talking about how a team is built.
I'll tell you another one that I'm really interested in is Virginia hosting Penn State. I applaud Penn State for doing this. Go on the road,
Virginia.
Play a power conference school, and it doesn't have to be a blue blood, but go be uncomfortable playing somewhere else. Right? Because this game could be a lot closer than we think. I go back to last year, Oregon at Texas Tech, right? You go into a hostile environment, it's an equalizer, man. And you have teams that are far better at home than they are on the road. And Texas Tech is one of those teams. So is West Virginia. West Virginia at home is a completely different team than when they leave Morgantown. And I think we may see Penn State challenged out of the gate in this one. And especially when you have a quarterback like Drew Aller, who's worked through some of his warts, they're only 8-point favorites going to Morgantown. Number 8 team in the country against an unranked opponent.
Yeah, Morgantown gets drunk, though.
Yep.
And it's going to get weird, and it's going to get sideways. And,
it's a big noon kick, though. They saved Penn State.
Oh, they didn't put it at night. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that will be noon Eastern time. If that would have been at night,
I would have taken West Virginia in the points.
Good night, Charlie.
Legitimately, I would have taken West Virginia in the points. I may have looked like a fool the next day, but looking at that, like, if you look at all of the matchups this weekend of outside of Clemson, Georgia, where there's good teams playing, that's the one where I went, that could get spicy. Yep. Miami, Florida, just because of the mutual hatred.
They are playing for the Seminole Canoe.
Mm.
We know that, right?
Indeed.
They play for the Seminole Canoe.
I'm going to be looking up and down the sideline for the canoe.
See if they actually bring it out there.
Like, I want to see David Goggins yelling, who's going to row the boats?
Well, I think that we may have a situation where whichever coach loses that week one matchup is instantly a hot seat.
Thrown in the boat and thrown into the water for the alligators?
I mean, if Billy Napier gets run out of the building,
which is very, honestly,
at
likely.
Home, at home, if that happens, they may just Viking funeral him. Mm. Just send that boat out there and start bow and arrows on fire, shooting it at that thing.
I wouldn't hate to see it.
I know you wouldn't, but, I mean, he'd die. And then we have Notre Dame, A&M. Notre Dame going on the road to Texas A&M. Is this Texas A&M's year?
No, and it's not Notre Dame's year either. And I can't remember who it was, but they basically said if Notre Dame wins this game, just pencil them in for the college football playoff, which is gross. It's gross. So, you know what? Screw it.
Really?
What is it? Gig'em?
You're going to go Gig'em Aggies already, huh?
Screw it.
Yeah,
Notre Dame's weak schedule. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. Obviously, I hate Notre Dame. But beyond that, I'm so sick and tired of this, like, you've got every other team has got to crawl through the mile of crap to get to the college football playoff. Meanwhile, Notre Dame's like, they step in a little something and go, ew. And then they end up in the college football playoff. So, yeah, give me A&M.
To the texter on the Vancouver Ford text line, that text in, when's the last time West Virginia beat Penn State? 1988, October 29th, 1988.
Yeesh.
West Virginia won 51-30. Should be noted, they've only played five times since then. They played in 89, 90, 91, 92, and then did not play until last year when the Mountaineers went to State College and lost 38-15. So it's been a really long time since they've played each other consistently. But 1988, Penn State's won five in a row in that series. Penn State should beat them and beat them handily. But I do believe, as we're talking about this, right, the question is, which teams are we going to learn about? I think we can learn something about Penn State early in the season as to where they are at as a legitimate contender, not just in the Big Ten for the college football playoff, and is this year that James Franklin and company get over that hump. They have been really good, though, at beating good teams, but not the great ones, and that's been their bugaboo. West Virginia is not a great team, but I think from a standpoint of where does their depth line up, how are they at every level, both offensively and defensively, in the line, at the quarterback, running back position, and especially wide receiver. I think what you look at, though, with Penn State, it's quarterback. How comfortable does Drew Aller look back there? And that will make a lot of people a lot more confident or start selling their stock on Penn State.
Or they have another Penn State quarterback where you're like, oh, he's a high-profile recruit, and then it's not going to go down that well.
I think another one that we have, speaking of high-caliber recruits and saying it doesn't end very well, I think your USC Trojans, we're going to learn a lot about on Sunday when they take on LSU in Las Vegas.
I don't know how this is only 4 points. I don't know how this is only a four-point spread. That does not compute.
I mean, I do, because both of their defenses were terrible last
year. Yeah, but there's a sliding scale of terrible. LSU terrible defense versus USC terrible defense last year was egregious. And, you know, they've talked about, you know, the secondary being good and the linebacking core being veteran and experienced. It's great. It's like, it's still that defensive front for USC is untested. And you've got Bear Alexander, you've got Anthony Lucas, but beyond that, you're like, okay. And then offensively, there's not a ton of experience on the offensive line outside of Monheim, who is moving over from guard to center. You've got talent, I think, across the offensive line, but wildly untested, doesn't have a lot of playing time together. Miller Moss is going to know the system. The weapons on the outside are great when you're talking about a Zach Branch or a Mekhi Lemon, but beyond that, the running back room is deep, but not necessarily as explosive as it's been in the past. And I look at that team and I'm sitting here in a fight on hat, and I'm still saying that if they win nine games this year, it'll be a surprise.
All right. I've crunched the numbers on this. 2023, LSU, out of the 14-team Southeastern Conference, finished 13th in scoring, 13th in total defense, 13th in rush defense, 13th in pass defense.
Ooh.
LSU was, dude, and the only team worse than them in all those categories was Vanderbilt.
Oh, hey.
So, I mean, like, you're right about the sliding scale of not good defense, but we can also look at it and say, brudda, this LSU team was 108th in the country in total defense last year. They gave up 416 yards per game. USC was 119th at 432 yards per game. So, yeah, I mean, just by not missing as many tackles,
that alone,
SC should be better.
That alone, just at USC Oregon, three missed tackles led to three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Three missed tackles led to three touchdowns. That's how egregious it was there. And then against Utah, I think it was five missed tackles led to scores. And it was just like, you got to be kidding me. It was some of the worst high-level football tackling I'd ever seen last year. And I don't know how necessarily coaching alone overhauls that without completely flipping over the roster, which they haven't really done defensively.
I got two more teams that I think we're going to learn something about this week.
Mm-hmm.
And It's both in a really bad way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
If North Dakota State beats Colorado,
which, yeah,
the Deion experiment and experience can be called a failure. Like, if you lose to North Dakota State, and this is year two of being, you know, the portal king and going into the portal. I mean, tomorrow they play 5 o'clock. All eyes are going to be on them. Colorado's only a 10-point favorite against an FCS team. If they lose that game, we're done. But if they win it.
We have, Dusty, we have college football tomorrow. We have ranked college football teams playing tomorrow.
Yeah, the great Kansas Jayhawks are 45-point favorites over Lindenwood, the 12th-ranked Utah Utes.
And the number 24 NC State, 32.5-point favorites over Western Carolina.
They play tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right.
4 o'clock,
let's go.
ACC Network.
But if Colorado wins in any way, even if it's ugly, I don't think we learn a whole heck of a lot about them.
No.
But if they lose, it's a big indicator. The other one for me is Florida State hosting Boston College. After what happened in Dublin, if they continue to play as atrociously and they don't trust DJ and DJ doesn't trust himself to run the ball or push the ball down the field, you got some big, big, big problems.
I literally State said Temples. That to somebody last night. What happens if Florida State loses to Boston College? Because like that'd be the end of them. That would be the end of them this year, because you lose one game in the ACC, fine. You lose another game in the ACC, and you start out 0-2 against that. Side note, mild squirrel moment.
Okay.
Did you know that there's a Central Connecticut?
University? I knew that there had to have, oh, no, not a university. I knew there had to be, like, a central portion of the state of Connecticut.
Yeah, Central Michigan is playing Central Connecticut.
Yeah, that... In their Division One,
I guess.
Well, I'll be damned. It sounds like a community college.
That's what I thought too. But I just was scrolling through, and I was like,
Central Connecticut State University Blue Devils.
Blue Devils. It's a complete and total ripoff of Duke's logo. I mean, copy paste.
It's incredible. Well, no, you know what they did. They put it through like the SB Nation logo generator and just kind of fancied it up a little.
Just tweaked the angles just enough.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they are an FCS opponent. They play at Arute Stadium. Please tell me that's named after Jack Arute.
Oh.
They play at Arute Stadium. They've been playing football for 89 years.
Which you would have got me on that trivia question. 100%.
I cannot tell you, though.
Central Connecticut sounds like Blue Mountain State. Like it was made up.
It's very generic, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's very generic.
Also, can you have Central in a state that small?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Super weird. I feel like you can only have a North and a South.
They've been a Division One program for 31 years.
How is that possible?
Well, I bet they haven't been very good.
Probably not. I have a worst day on the web that will also ask, make you ponder, how is that possible? We'll get to that and more coming up here on Worst Day on the Web here on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Got a good one today. It's local.
All right. Ooh. Oh, ho.
I saw this headline and my jaw just got further and further and further to the ground the more I read.
Okay.
Here's the headline from the Oregonian. Yeah. Illegal sale of performance-enhancing drugs for cockfighting rooster leads to prosecution of Oregon man.
Come again? Say that for me one more time.
Yeah. Illegal,
hit me, baby, one more time.
Illegal sale of performance-enhancing drugs for cockfighting roosters leads to prosecution of Oregon man.
All right. Can I guess the region of Oregon? You said just an Oregon man or a Portland man?
Oregon.
This seems very Klamath Falls.
You're same idea, but different region.
Oh, Estacada?
Independence.
Okay, all right. This is all making sense now. Yeah, all right.
We picking it up now? Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
All right.
Fernando Israel Urrutia Arce, a 45-year-old man of Independence, is going to serve 3 years before of probation and is ordered to pay a $5,000 fine after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor charge of interstate receipt and sale of misbranded drugs. He illegally imported and resold more than $200,000 worth of PEDs for cockfighting roosters across the United States.
Wow.
He imported the drugs through his business called VIP Gamefowl Supplies from 2019 to 2022.
Not name your business like the stereotypical front business name.
Yes. Balco for Roosters.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's like, I see the name of that company, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to look into that.
Poor little Jerry Seinfeld never had a chance.
I'm looking at this and I'm going, if I'm going to co-brand this, I'm going to go Jacked Ramsey's, and also I'm going to have Jacked Roosters as also a part of my my cockfighting schemes.
That's right.
If this is what I have to do to get relatively inexpensive PEDs, I'll do it.
I mean, it's like a gym that gets popped for selling PEDs to the people that go there, and it's called like the Roid House.
Yeah.
You're like, didn't see that one coming. We had no idea that this was going on.
Get jacked via stacks. It's like, yeah. No, we get it. Yeah. Through the company, he sold the drugs that promised to increase this is the absolute heater of the article. He sold drugs that promised to increase a rooster's energy and muscle building, making a fighting cock 10 times stronger.
Boy, you weren't lying.
That way, Russ can grab that for later. Help with their digestive system and make their hair shiny and flawless.
Yeah, yeah. Like this one, it's a great text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Like, I'm just sad to see drugs infest the game of murdering roosters, you know?
Also, what's happened to the morality of killing animals for money? It's like, it's the animals killing animals.
This is the least surprising story from cockfighting.
What's a more egregious crime, sin, twisted thing in the animal fighting world, particularly cockfighting? Giving them PEDs and turning them into little feathered hairy bonzes? I don't know. I'll workshop that one later.
Feathery bonzes, yeah.
Or giving them the metal spur.
Boy, I think it's the spur.
Right?
Because that's just to inflict the injury.
The most
there's
damage.
Nothing good about that at all. But, like, I mean, fighting anything to the death, barbaric. I think we've evolved past that as society.
Mm.
But the fact that you said $200,000?
Yeah.
This guy's obviously making money off of it.
Yeah,
to the tune of more than $200K.
Yes, and here's the thing, and this does not make it better, and I don't agree with it at all. But outside of the U.S., not just cockfighting, but animal fighting is still not even like on the fringes. It's wildly accepted.
Yeah, like in the Caribbean islands,
A
lot of cockfighting.
All over South America, all over Southeast Asia. Didn't see a ton of it in the Middle East.
That's
not totally true. We did it with bugs. We threw scorpions and camel spiders in boxes and watched them fight, and we may or may not have bet on
Danny, them. You're not supposed to say we.
I mean, it was the collective we.
Of bugs?
Well, yeah. Look, if there's anything from the animal kingdom that we want to let fight to the death, I think scorpions are an acceptable
spiders.
Answer. Yeah,
yes.
That's just fine.
Yeah, we anything that was, like, that was harmful to us, we threw in boxes and we let you fight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put myself in your shoes in that situation because I've never been in them.
I've never been that bored. I had somebody put scorpions in my shoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I kind of deserved it. I may or may not have put a dead camel spider on his chest while he was sleeping.
What?
What?
Again, this is that cheeky fun that you have. That's the Danny cheeky fun.
Yeah.
Hey, dead cheeky camel spider that's the size of a dinner plate on your chest while you sleep.
So you wake up and you've got arachnophobia in your face.
Scorpion in your shoes.
I got a snake in my boots, except it was scorpions. They also found 3,000.
Speaking of movies you can only watch once.
Right?
Good Lord.
3,000 images and posts related to animal fighting paraphernalia was also found on his social media accounts. He accepted more than $213,000 in payments using PayPal, Cash App, and
Zelle. Wait, he was posting it on his social media?
Yeah.
This guy deserves to be roasted by Tanya Harding on World's Dumbest Criminals. At this point, it's like, hey, look what I'm doing. What an idiot.
Hey, everyone, come and see how dumb I look.
Number one, he said none of the drugs have been approved by the FDA. Is the FDA out here approving cockfighting serums?
This guy is the equivalent of like getting on a radio show and like admitting to several crimes.
Oh. But it was purchased from the Philippines and other foreign countries, according to a sentencing memo. And I think the statute of limitations is out on mine. So, yeah, that's where we got all our steroids from. So
man.
We got Philippines and actually England, weirdly enough. In the early 2000s, we got our steroids.
Really?
Yeah, it was called British Dragon.
Wait, you got your steroids from
England? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
There was a supplier back in the day you could get your – and it just felt like less shady because it was coming from a first world country.
Yeah, this is on the up and up.
Yeah, right. That was the way we justified it back then. But yeah,
this is totally on the up and up.
We got it from England and we got it from the Philippines, which is probably funny because the people we were buying them from in England were probably getting them from the Philippines.
Yeah, you know, I think you're 100% correct.
I'm pretty sure that's how that went.
No doubt.
This does have a sad note beyond the whole animal death thing at the end.
Oh, no way.
During this period, the man's wife was battling bone cancer, which required significant financial support. He has since accepted responsibility, has no criminal history, and has fully cooperated with investigators.
Okay, so...
So he was doing illegal cockfighting serums to pay for his wife's bone cancer treatment.
Oh, great, so we got a Walter White now.
Okay, here's my thing. He didn't hurt anybody, but he was hurting animals. Like,
well, he wasn't. He was just, you know.
He was the middleman.
Yeah, you know.
See, but I don't like that. Where it's like you have these arms dealers who are like, I didn't pull the trigger.
Well, where do we draw the line? Do we draw what's that? Is it Family Guy? Or, no, it's American Dad when they ban trans fats and they have to smuggle trans fats back into the city. Like, do we get mad at the middleman who's out there just slinging trans fats now? Like, because it leads to harmful clogged arteries.
Yeah, that's
it's like,
yeah,
you know.
But I mean,
do we bag on the guys out there doing the distribution for the alcohol because DUIs?
Yeah. Okay. But
see, I'm just saying, maybe he thought he was selling
the guy who is like a beer salesman or whatever. He's not doing it with like, I know the intention of people are going to be, they're going to get loaded behind the wheel. It's to use it safely and recreationally.
Well
right?
Maybe they want some recreationally like super jacked roosters.
Okay, I mean,
maybe they're show roosters, and he wants them to come up like they don't get tested, and they just show
one
up
thing
super
that we,
jacked and shiny.
One thing we learned about the Chinese swimming team is that the the cattle in China is loaded with enough roids
See?
To trigger a positive test.
See,
and they're just eating it.
Yeah,
they're not fighting them.
That he was getting this from overseas and sending it back to China because they were loading it in into their chicken. They're like, hey, the guys, they're on to the beef. We need to go to the chicken now.
Yeah.
They're testing the beef.
I think I'm still out on this. I think I'm still out on all of it.
Would you eat PED chicken if you...
I feel like I have.
Well, I mean,
I feel like we all have.
What if it, like, you could get, like, mild PED benefits from eating PED chicken? Would you do it? See, you're hesitating. Mine's an immediate yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the mild benefits are. Like, okay, are my joints and ligaments all going to still be like frail rubber bands and snap at any moment? Or am I just getting the mild, I'm getting jacked and have an incredibly large appetite? Because if it's the latter, I'll take it.
I'm just wanting to look good, feel good kind of deal, you know?
Yeah, sure. Just a little, then, yeah,
I
do that.
I really want some shiny and flawless hair.
Yeah, that's the thing that they say about like the I guess it's not microdosing, but the lower dosages of HGH, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing surrounding HGH is that is in low dose, it has actually incredible benefits for you. So
yes, in low doses.
Yeah, just not ones that make your head look like a watermelon on a toothpick.
I mean, you know, just make sure you got to work your shoulders.
Okay. Make your traps big enough to make your head look small, bro.
Proportions, they matter.
Nobody knows that you have a size 8.5 head anymore because your traps are huge, bro.
See? That's how it works. All right, coming up next, Rust threw this one on the docket for us, and it's something. Dion, you're going to have to stop, man. Colorado, what are you doing? We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny Dusty, Timmy the Fan. Quick update on Central Connecticut State, looking at their alumni. They had a Miss Universe contestant, and speaking of sports, Mr. John Boy. John Boy went to Central Connecticut State.
Oh, get out of town.
Yeah, James Vincent Michael O'Brien. That's his whole name, if you didn't know.
Oh, that's how he got to John Boy?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's a long name.
He'll learn something new every
day.
But yeah,
I was looking at their alumni, and I was like, wow.
It's tough to trust people with two middle names.
That's a long name.
I mean, I realize, you know, there's a very famous former Portland person with two middle names. Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah, Molly. Double, yeah.
Just Molly, saying, but yeah. Typically, like, the double middle name people are a little, you know.
I feel it's more the...
I feel if it's like Wayne or Lee.
Yeah, it's the multiple first names.
That's always a serial killer thing.
It's always the multiple first names. Like, when their last name is a first name, too. Like, that's always a little...
Billy Ray, Wayne.
Yeah, like, you know. Whoa! If there's a Wayne, a Lee, what's another last name that pops in there where you're like, Curtis?
All I can ever Curtis. Think about when I hear the name Curtis is...
Curtis is the first name.
Is old Cheech and Chong. Curtis. Just, yeah, I know Curtis, man.
I'm trying to think if there's any other first names that are last names that you could kind of throw in there. Stewart's another one, I think. Anytime you can have, like, your whole name could be first names, your first, middle, and last name could be first name.
Serial killer.
I kind of want to throw you in a wood chipper.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, you know?
Danny Wayne Meringue.
Hey, whoa. See, the last name, that's how you know. Meringue will never, ever get there. That's how I'm hiding in plain sight.
You know, the guy that always seemed very untrustworthy to me, and this is totally unfair just because of his name, was Brant Snedeker. Brant Newell Snedeker. Professional golfer. A guy that just like sounds like he was born in a country club and just raised there.
Yes, 100%.
And he went to the Harding Academy. And then Vanderbilt.
Yeah, both those schools. Vanderbilt, I don't think it gets its necessary due with how pretentious it is because it's in the SEC.
Yeah.
It is an uppity school.
But he won last night the Payne Stewart Award. He was honored with the Payne Stewart Award. And Payne Stewart, a phenomenal human being and a phenomenal golfer. And I was watching like some of the coverage on the Golf Channel. I was making dinner. The TV turned on. Couldn't find the remote. Look, I that's why it was on the Golf Channel. I don't know how it got to the Golf Channel.
Dirt got in your house?
Dirt. My wife cheating on me with dirt? No. Kids were watching the TV, and you know how remotes happen. They just get numbers get punched. It's a mess. But I ended up learning about Brant Snedeker. Awesome guy. Awesome guy. Thought he was like this pretentious D-bag this whole time. It turns out, great dude.
Mm.
Hand up, I was wrong.
Nah, we'll let that one go.
All right. I mean, just doesn't that name sounds like country club. He's the bad guy from the Goonies, even though I do understand Brant was the brother. I get that, but I just associated that always with, you know, the Astoria Country Club guy, not actual Brant. Josh Brolin.
Hey, Troy.
I just want to say, shout out to everybody on the Vancouver 4 text line. I appreciate you. I can't read any of your texts on air, but I appreciate you. Just want to salute all the folks that are on there right now.
There was a lot of aggressive text.
It was funny. Don't get me wrong. Like, I laughed. I just wanted to let you know. I'm not ignoring you. Dusty's not ignoring you. We just don't want to get fined.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we will get to the Deion Sanders absolute mess of a story because it's too stupid not to talk about, at least for like 30 seconds. But coming up next, we have our Elite Eight in the College Football Rivalry Trophy Edition that we will dive into immediately before we get into the weekend where we will crown our College Football Rivalry Trophy winner. Coming up next here on Hour Number 3 and Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.